Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. For surely Jesus Christ is coming back to get his church, and then we will fall into the tribulation period. We are right on it. We are right near it. We are so close to it that you can't even see it. The end of the time of the Gentiles is almost over. The Jews are back in the land. Amen. They are looking for the Antichrist, which they think is going to be Jesus Christ, but it's going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is here. Amen. He's in Western Europe. Amen. And he's preparing NATO right now. NATO is the eastern, the western part of the Roman Empire, which right now everybody is looking towards the coronavirus, but I'm not looking towards the coronavirus. I'm looking towards the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's in preparation already. Amen. It's on time. Jesus Christ is coming back, the Son of the living God, the one that was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen. He's coming back after 2,000 years. Amen. He was on the earth for 33.5 years, crucified, nailed to a cross, went down in the grave, got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he said, I will go away, and if I go away, I will come again. And we are living, definitely living in the last generation. This generation will end in 2029. I didn't say the end of the world. I said the end of this generation. For this is the last generation up on the earth that Satan will be able to rule for a short time. And that short time will close with the 7-year tribulation period. And the 7-year tribulation period is up on earth right now. We're not far from it. Amen. Everything that the prophets prophesied about, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel and Ezekiel prophesied about the end time, how the world would be filled with commotion and strife and earthquakes and pestilence and diseases, all kinds of calamity that's falling up on the earth. And now we are absolutely living in the last church age. The church age is almost over. I say the church age is almost over, which means pretty soon the church of the living God, the one that he purchased with his own blood, nobody but the blood of Jesus Christ can purchase the church of the living God. For Christ is the only one that died on Calvary's cross for our sins, that through him we can be saved from the depths of hell and from the pit of hell and from suffering for our own sins, because Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. He came down here and died. He went back to heaven. He's coming back again to get his body. His body is still down here. Amen. And his body is looking and hoping for those that are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. They will be caught off guard, because he said, be watchful. Amen. Be watchful, because I come as a thief in the night. And buddy, you better be on your Q's and P's. Amen, because when he comes, it's going to be a surprise, surprise, surprise to the world, and a surprise to a part of the church, because the church, most of the churches today are sleeping. They're slobbering. They got a nonchalant about the return of Jesus Christ. They will say, well, if he come, he come. If he don't come, I'll just go ahead and live my life. I ain't worried about that right now. But when he come, he's going to come with power and in great glory. He's going to remove his body, not my body, but his body. And the only way that I can come a part of the body of Jesus Christ, I got to give my soul to him. Oh, yes. Got to give my soul to him. And when he takes my soul, he sanctified my soul by the Holy Spirit through the blood of his darling son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ purchased me back to God by his suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And now the 2,000 years is up. It's up. It's up in the air. Amen. just a few more days, a few more hours, a few more months. I don't know if we get through 2022 without the rapture happening, because right now, everything that the biblical prophecy says, I'm talking about the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, all those minor and major prophets prophesied absolutely about as days just before the coming of the great God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's going to be a seven-year tribulation of horrific judgment. God is getting ready to bring judgment upon the earth. Amen. He has been merciful. He has been long-suffering. He has been kind. He has been able to, what, redeem man back from God. And the world is saying, well, we don't want him right now. I ain't got time. I got to live my life. Yes, right. You living your life. You ain't living for Christ. You living your own life. Woo! And many people today are living for their own selves. They ain't got no sense or no concern about their what? Soul. You got a soul, a S-O-U-L, a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere, a soul that has to be redeemed before it can ever enter the kingdom of God. Every human being has to be redeemed before they can ever think they're going to go to heaven. Woo! The only way you can get to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Because let me tell you, without Jesus Christ coming into your life and all the church going, all the good works you can do, if you have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, hell will be your home. I don't say that in hatred. I don't say that in anger. I say that with love. You are going to go to hell. Now, how can I say that in love? I'm warning you. The word of God is warning you. The prophet's warning you. Jesus Christ warns the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. He warned the nations. He warned the communities. He warned the families. Except you repent and turn from your sins. Your sins can damn your soul. Your personal sins, your secret sin, your sin of omission, your deliberate sin, your willful sin. You are a sinner, and you need to be born again. The only way you can escape sin is through who? Jesus. He was a sin sacrifice. What did he do? He paid the price. He paid the suffering. He paid the agony. He paid the rejection. He paid for everything. He paid for the whole human race. It's already established. He's got power to save anybody that wants to be saved, that wants to be saved from sin, that wants to become a child of God, that wants to do God's work and his will. So, and all the work that you can do, the only way you can do it that will please God, you got to do it through Jesus Christ. The only way that you can be born again is the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you can be born again is what? Repent from your sins and turn from your wicked ways and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all your mind, all your soul, and repent of your sins and confess with your mouth that he is the Son of the living God, which means God in the flesh, God in the flesh. God in the flesh manifested himself in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, and received up into glory. This is Brother Bazaar, the entire radio internet ministry. We are here because we love you. We love you with all our minds, all our souls. Why? Because let me tell you, I love you enough to let you know don't go to hell. I love you enough to know I'm going to let you know what Jesus Christ did for your soul. He saved your soul if you want to be saved. You cannot be saved on your own. You cannot be saved by no other deity, no other God, no other angel, no other cherubim, no other seraphim. The only one that can save the soul of mankind is Jesus Christ. for his name is the greatest name that ever will be. Nobody will ever go higher than he is because he is the Son of the living God. He is God himself in the flesh. This is what? Getting ready for tribulation time. We're living in a little bit of taste of tribulation, but we're not in the beginning of the tribulation. The tribulation can only start till after the rapture of the church. But we feel the tribulation turbulence going all over the world. All over the world. I mean, it's in every crack corner, every nook and corner. Sin is flowing like water, but righteousness will prevail because Jesus Christ is letting his mercy be shown. He's letting his goodness be shown. He's letting his long-suffering be shown because he's going to not hold off too much longer. He's going to remove the body of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what kind of religion you call yourself having. If you ain't got Jesus Christ, you ain't got nothing because Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's not a spasmodic feel good thing. It's a repentance of sin and putting your soul in the hands of Jesus Christ that when the trumpets blow, woo, and let me tell you, they're going to blow so loud that the dead is going to quiver in the grave.
Amen.
And they're going to get up with new bodies, and they're going to be caught up in the air in the twinkling of an eye. And guess what? We that remain alive and walking around on the face of this earth, and we are not paying no attention to God, we're not paying no attention to his salvation. If you miss the rapture, guess what? You're going to have to absolutely go through the tribulation. And the tribulation says that you're going to have to face Christ. The Antichrist is who? It's a man. It's a human being. It's a man that Satan is going to set him up. And he's setting him up right now. He's getting ready to come out on the main scene. But first, some events got to happen to pinpoint us exactly where he at. And the main pinpoint that God is trying to show us is the return of the Jewish people into the land of Israel. The Jews are back in the land. And by them being back in the land, Jesus told Jeremiah, he told Ezekiel, he told Daniel, he told Isaiah, he said, I'm not going to come back until the Jews are in the land. How long they've been in the land? They've been in the land since 1948. They've been in Jerusalem, and they're coming back every day. Why? Because they're going to meet the false Messiah first. And when they find out that that's a lie, they're going to recognize the true Messiah. And they're only going to recognize the true Messiah at the end of the tribulation period. They are going to repent. Ooh, hallelujah. The Jews are going to repent. Why? Because they're going to recognize who the true Jesus is. How are they going to recognize who the true Jesus is? Well, look here. I'm going to show you how good God is. God is good to the Jew. He's good to the Gentile. How good God is. God, through his son Jesus Christ, is coming back to this earth. Guess what? And he's going to set his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives. When he set his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives, Israel will be back in the land. When the Israelites get back in the land, they're going to see Jesus coming in clouds, coming back with the church, and he's going to stand on the top of the Mount of Olives, and he's going to stop there. Woo! Hallelujah! And guess what he's going to do? He's going to lift his hands. Ooh, on the top of the Mount of Olives. And when the Jewish nation, a remnant going to see the nail prints in his hand, they're going to see the nail prints in his feet, they're going to see his face, they're going to say, hey, where did you get your wounds from? This is Israel talking. Israel going to say, where did you get your wound? Where did you get the scars? Where did you get the nail prints in your feet? Where did you get all that? And he's going to roar out of Zion and say, from the household of my friends, and the scales, the blindness of Israel is going to fall from their eyes, and they are going to recognize that this is the Messiah, the one that they have rejected for over the period of 2,000 years. They're going to say, yes, this is the Holy One of Zion. This is Elohim. This is the I Am. This is the one that suffered and died on Calvary's cross, and Israel shall be saved. at the end of the tribulation. But before the end of the tribulation, God is going to send. He's going to send 144,000 Jews at the beginning of the tribulation. And then in the middle of the tribulation, after the Jews, 144,000 get through with their ministry, he's going to send. God's going to do this. I can't do it. You can't do it. No religious organization can do it because they ain't even got this on their mind. This ain't on no religious person's mind. Religion, I don't told you. Religion is just a something that man can think up. Believe that he can serve God any kind of old way, but you can't serve a holy God any kind of old way. No, brother, you're wrong. You're wrong, teenager. You're wrong, black man. You're wrong, white man. You're wrong, Jew. You're wrong. Anybody that think they can serve God any kind of way, they're on the wrong boat, because Jesus says straight is the way. Straight is the gate that leadeth to life. And very few will find it. For broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in thereat. And the world is full of unbelievers, rejectors, atheists, agnostics, humanism. It's full of different denominations. You got Buddhism. You got Scientologists. You got all kinds, over 3,000 different kinds of religions and occults that worship their own God. They ain't worshiping Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. I'm here to tell you, get ready, get ready, get ready. Now, the 144,000, God is getting them ready. He's getting the two prophets ready. But they won't come on the scene until the rapture. Oh, that blessed hope. That rapture, the rapture where this mortal body will be changed to immortality, and I'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And Brother Tim, which is on now, and I'm going to give it over to him in a few minutes. Amen. So glad to hear his voice. Amen. I'm going to let him rip off a little bit. Amen. This is good stuff here. This is good stuff. This is the best stuff I ever had in my whole life. I wouldn't trade nothing for it. Why? Because my hope is nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but hope it means on Jesus' name. The biggest thing now after the birth of Israel, Israel has been in what? She's been in existence for over 70 years. 70 years she's been in existence, almost a whole generation, because a whole generation is 80 years. We only got what? We only got at least 7 years left. Ooh, listen to me. We only got 7 years left before 2029, and that closes 80 years. That's 80 years of generational prophecy that has been fulfilled. And the Bible tells me at the end, at the beginning of the tribulation period, there's going to be a great battle. There's going to be a great battle that's going to occur during the time of the tribulation period. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I'm so excited. My toenails is getting happy. You know why? Because we are living in that last generation where a great battle is getting to be planned. A plan by who? Planned by Gog and Magog. Meshach and Tubal. Meshach and Tubal, Gog and Magog represent that northern kingdom, which is Russia. Russia has been in existence since 1917. And Russia is known as being the bad, a vicious nation, a nation that don't believe in God, don't believe in Christianity, don't believe that God is Jesus Christ in the flesh. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost. I mean, I know we got Christians in Russia, amen, but they can't worship like we can in America. America, we have the freedom to worship who we please, and a lot of people is worshiping who they please. And let me tell you, if you're not worshiping God, you can't please God. If you're not bowing down to God, you can't serve God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you walking and talking, you can't serve God. You got to be born again. That's the faith. That's the way that Paul said. He said there's only what? Come on now. In Ephesians, one faith, one baptism, one God. And there's one heaven, there's one hell. And that tells that heaven is a place to gain and hell is a place to shun. So what are we talking about? Hey, I'm going to let this brother pick this up. Amen. He's going to pick this up because I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to give it to him. But there's a battle getting ready to hit this planet. And this battle is called the Battle of Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, where Russia, Russia. Now listen to me. Let's turn on your TV set. Go down there and get the newspaper. Look on your internet. You'll see that Russia now is planning to invade Ukraine. Ukraine is a gateway to get to what? Israel. The battle is all about Israel because Russia don't have no food. They don't have no oil. They don't have no gas. And Putin knows if he don't get something going on, whether NATO can stop them or whether the East, the Western Alliance and Federation can stop him, Putin is saying, I'm getting my men together. I'm getting my tanks together. I'm getting my silos together. I'm getting my submarines together. I'm getting my ship together. And we are going to what? We are going to conquer Jerusalem and take possession of Jerusalem because Jerusalem is where it's at. Woo! Jerusalem is the place in which Jesus Christ is going to return. So if he meet anybody, he's going to meet Jesus Christ. Well, we know he ain't going to meet Jesus Christ because they tell me this battle that they got and they're planning to get together. They got five other nations. They got five other nations going to follow Russia, and they're working gradually up on what? They're gradually working up on the border. They're gradually, and Biden is saying, I'm going to send 3,000, I'm going to send this, and I'm going to send that. But, you know, Putin ain't even paying no attention to that. Why? Because he knows that he knows he's in Bible prophecy, and that Bible prophecy represents that red horse in the chapter of Revelation. But let me tell you, this brother Tim is going to wrap it up. He's going to give you some more information on Russia, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal, to let you know. We better get ourselves together. America, church folks better get themselves together.
That's right.
These so-called motivation speeches and collecting offerings and going to banquets and living all high on the hall, talking about where we going. Don't even want to talk about heaven. Don't even want to talk about the rapture. Preachers talking about Jesus died on the cross. I know he died on the cross. Woo! And they ain't bringing the right cross. They talk about, well, if you just work yourself, work. You just be good and don't do this and don't do that. And shake my hand and give him my money. Or you can make it in. Well, you ain't making it in by works. You're going by faith. And if you don't have your faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? Your faith ain't nothing. Why? Because faith is a substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. But without faith. It didn't say without works. It said without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is and that he's rewarded for those that diligently seek him. I'm here to tell you, brother, let's get ready. Let's get ready. I'm going to bring this brother on now, and he's going to talk about it some more because this is our lead subject tonight. We're talking about over there in Ukraine what's getting ready to happen, and it's going to take the rest of the year. It's going to be about Russia, Ukraine, NATO, Antichrist. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the number one, Jesus Christ is coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. We'll ask this brother right on, come on. I didn't have prayer. Amen. But I'm praying within my spirit. Go ahead, brother. Wrap it up.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. Yahweh. Amen. We praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes,
we come
Lord.
In today. Amen. And treating you today, Heavenly Father, thanking you for another blessed day that you said that we should be here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We bless and praise your holy name. We come for no shape, form, or fashion. We come by your spirit and only through your spirit. We allow your spirit to use us, dear Heavenly Father, as you see fit. Bless the listeners today, dear Heavenly Father. Bless that they be fed by your spirit. Amen. Brother, it's good to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Barely made it on. Amen. But amen, the Most High made it possible for me to be on today, so I'm glad to be here.
Thank you.
Amen, brother. Amen. I'm trying to be on as much as possible. Amen. These last evil days. Amen. We are on three times a week. Amen. We're on Sunday night, Sunday evening. Amen. Wednesday night, and we are on Saturday evening as well. Amen.
Amen,
so it's good
brother.
To be here. Amen. We'll talk about the times a little later. Amen. But right now, it's time to get into what's talking about. The subject that's at hand is when Christ gave John the Apostle, amen, gave him a warning. Amen. I'm going to say it again. He gave him a warning to give to those in the church. Amen. And
come on.
Our job, amen, as the men of God, the women of God, to Wake up those who are asleep in the church to sound the alarm, to let them know that our Lord and Savior is soon to return. This is a subject that should be preached. Amen. A gospel that should be preached. Amen. Every day. There you go, brother. Around the clock, because we believe that our Lord and Savior is soon to return. Amen. Paul said the times and the seasons. Amen. We are to watch. Amen. That's what we're to do. Christ is to watch. What are we watching for? We are to watch for his return. Amen. What did he tell the disciples? Amen. Amen. That he said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand there gazing up? For this same Christ that is leaving in this manner shall also return. Amen. So we know that he's going to come, amen, in the clouds. Amen. We know that Christ is going to return. Amen. The trumpets are going to sound, as Paul stated. And when those trumpets blow, oh, man, God, Lord have mercy. Amen.
Woo.
The dead in Christ shall rise.
Woo.
Amen. And the dead is going to hear those trumpets. That's how powerful this is going to be. This is a blessed time for the saints to be alive. It is a possibility that we may get to witness the return of Christ. Amen. And it is the perfect time because, as the brother said, nobody's paying attention. And this is why he said to watch. But those of us who are watching, that are burning the lamp on late at night, studying and reading our Bible, amen, on our knees praying, I'm praying for the world. Amen. I know the brother's praying. Amen. Elder Bazaar, I know he's praying. Amen. We are believing that as many souls come into the kingdom of God as possible. Amen. I spoke to a brother today on the phone at work. Amen. Brother Dean. So hopefully he's listening. He said he'd be listening. Amen. If not, I do understand. Amen. But we are praying for the brother. He said he's a minister preaching the gospel. I think he's over in North Carolina. So God bless him.
Amen.
Amen. But I tell you right now, amen, we need as many soldiers on the battlefield. Amen, especially at this day and time. We need warriors to come to the front line. We got to preach this thing. It's time for pastors and preachers to stop shunning away from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is in the Bible. Amen. It is the last book. Amen. But it doesn't mean that we ignore that book. We must include that book. It's time for us to start preaching out of that book because, wow, we are in the last days, and we got to, hallelujah, we got to preach the gospel. We got to let them know that we got to shake those up that sleep in the church. Amen. It's time out for motivational speeches. It's time out for being comedians and being entertained in the church. It's time out, amen, for people talking about money and how you're going to be blessed if you do this and blessed if you do that.
Come
amen.
On,
I'm
preacher.
Blessed anyway because I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a king's kid. So I'm blessed anyway. Amen. I'm blessed and highly favored. Whether I got money in the bank or whether I don't have a dime, I'm still blessed. Because why? The scripture says only what you do for Christ shall last.
Ooh.
Amen. Amen.
Come
so
on,
we've
preacher.
Been dealing with this Gog and Magog. Amen. For the past couple of weeks. Amen. We see the things that's happening in the world. We've been dealing with Revelation, the sixth chapter. What have we been talking about? Family,
amen.
We've been dealing with this red horse. Lord have mercy. The red horse represents war. Amen. What else is
amen.
Blood. Because we know what comes with war is bloodshed. Amen.
Blood.
And you know it's ironic, brother, because you know we talked about this past summer. Amen. And I said we started talking about China, how China was beating on its chest, making threats to Australia, making threats to the West, saying if anyone attempts to take them on, they already can't nobody take them on. And now you see Russia all of a sudden has to step out from behind the curtains just a few months ago and put what? Amen. Just here recently, within
amen.
The last, what, 30, 60 days, they put 100,000 troops at the border of Ukraine. Family,
come on,
that's nothing to sleep on. If anybody, now you think about this at America, if, and we just hypothetically speaking, if any country on the border, whether it be Canada or Mexico, put 100,000 troops at our border, would we not be alarmed? Would we not be up in arms? Of course we would. Of course we would. Because that means what? War. Don't nobody show up at your doorstep with a gun unless he wants war. Amen. So you can best believe whatever, amen, brother, whatever Russia's up to, amen, they are serious. And it's time for us to stop fooling ourselves, thinking, oh, well, this is just something like, oh, they just doing this. No, they are not just doing this. This is prophesied in your word, amen. We are living in a time, amen, that's been long awaited. And it's in our Bible. What Daniel the prophet spoke about over 2,000 years ago, amen, and what John the apostle spoke about 2,000 years ago, it is finally coming. Amen. What we know as the D-Day, the last day, the day of the Lord, the time of the end of the world, the end of age, that time. Woo, come on now. In that time. Oh, in that day. Come on now. This signifies a what? A future event, a time frame appointed, amen, that God spoke about in the end, that Christ spoke about. Over in Matthew's the 24th chapter, when his disciples, amen, brother, amen, when his disciples spoke about, let's go there real quick. Matthew's the 24th chapter. Let's talk about it real quick. Amen. 24. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. Watch what it said. Watch what it said. Matthew's the 24th chapter, verses 3 and 4. And watch what it says. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Lord, have mercy. And Yahshua, Jesus said unto them, take no heed that what? No man deceive you. Lord, have mercy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The church has now been so deceived that they love the world so much, they're not studying. Amen. The church, they're not studying the Bibles. Amen. They're so in love. They're not ready. As I told you, amen. I talked to one of my members the other week. Amen. She said, I still got things to do, Pastor. And things I said, well, sister, there's things I want to do too. But if Christ come back, I'm ready. Amen. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we're trying to get you prepared, because the church will not, cannot, shall not go through the great tribulation. Amen. Christ is going to come back. And amen. If you study the scriptures, amen, that word, amen, caught up means like a violent wind. Amen. That's why in the Latin language it's called rapture. That's why they say rapture.
Rapture.
But the word rapture ain't in the Bible. Well, we know it's not in the Bible, but amen, they just use that word to describe the word caught up. Now, the saying caught up is in the Bible because Paul used it in the Greek. Amen. It means to be snatched up, meaning that before it happens, Lord have me, y'all not hear what I'm saying.
Before
Russia and China can get ugly, before the Antichrist can step from behind the curtains, we already Russia and China is already stepping behind the curtains. But guess who's going to, Lord have mercy, guess who's going to step from behind the curtains with them? The Antichrist. Before he can set foot on the stage, amen, guess what?
Amen.
God said, I got to protect the church. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. Go and read it for yourself. He said that the church will not be here. So I will protect you and keep you from that hour. See, people who say that the church will go through the tribulation, they don't know about Bible interpretation, how to interpret scripture.
No.
Amen.
No.
God knows. Amen, doctor. God knows how to keep his own from his wrath. Amen.
Yes.
God is not going to judge the saints, the believers with the unbelievers. Amen. When he judged people, see, warning always comes before destruction. He told Moses to warn and alert the children of Israel. This is what you'll do. So when the death angel passed through in Egypt, this is what you do. Amen. And the death angel will pass by. Amen. God told Noah. Amen. In the flood.
Amen.
Amen. And they was what? Saved from God's judgment. See, God knows.
Yes,
see, people think that the great tribulation is about God's judgments and punishments on the wicked. Not the saints of God. Amen. And on the wicked. Amen. Now, those who will be converted in the tribulation, they have to go through, because they don't get converted until the tribulation, after the tribulation starts. Amen. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. God gave what? Lot and his family the opportunity. He warned them to what? Get out of the city. Before God rains down judgment, you best believe God knows how to protect his people and get his people out of the way. But this time, Christ is going to come back, amen, and deliver the saints out of the world before the tribulation starts, amen. Look at your Bible and pray about it and study, amen, to understand scripture. Amen, brother. Hallelujah, brother. So, saints, amen, we want you to get ready. Amen. I'm going to get ready to turn back over to the brotherhood in a little bit. Amen. I've got a few more things that I want to say. Amen. Because I want to get back into, amen, the God and make God. Amen. But I want to share this with you. This was on my spirit today. Amen. Because I was thinking about Lazarus. Amen. I know that you talked about Lazarus. We've been talking about Lazarus and the rich man. Amen. For the past couple of weeks as well. And how when he died. See, people don't understand, man. You have to study the Bible. God knows how to protect us and keep us. See, the saints they was in Hades, but Hades was divided. Hades, there was paradise, and then there was Hades, or what we call the grave, Sheol, or amen, hell. Let's just go ahead and see it. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So you had a separation of where those who love God and those who didn't love God. Well, why do people think that amen, doctor? Why do people think that the saints are going to go through the tribulation and be judged? Amen. That's the lie. The devil is a lie. We will not, shall not, cannot go through the tribulation. God is going to protect us. Amen. We will not go.
Amen.
So if you remember, amen, the beggar when he died, amen, he was what? The scripture said he was comforted. And don't you know that same word in the Greek, amen, doctor, that same word in the Greek, comforted, is what the same Greek word that Paul used over in Thessalonians when he said, comfort one another with these words, meaning that we're going to be comforted. Amen. God's going to protect us. Amen. We're going to be in a peaceable state. We will be in heaven. Looking down at the great tribulation, that 7-year period, we will not be here on the earth to experience or witness the great tribulation. Saints, I'm going to tell you
preacher.
Right now, you better get ready. Amen. I got some
get
more
ready.
Things. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the brother.
Amen.
And I'm going to come back. Amen. We're going to get back into it some more. Brother, go ahead.
Go ahead. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I ain't got nothing else to do but preach this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and preach it of his great return. Amen. And his great return is soon on the way. So close. So close that people got stigmatism. They're looking right down. Every time you hear something going on in the world today, it's all in the Bible. It's already in the Bible. There is nothing new that's going on today that never went on before. Because everything you see today happened in ancient time, has been in medieval time, happened in the modern time. So everybody says, you know, this is new. That's new. That ain't new. That's old as the hill. See, because one thing, if anybody got anything new, it's God Almighty.
Amen.
But Satan don't have nothing new. Ooh, he ain't got nothing new going on. Only thing is new to you because you just got here. Ooh, if you only been here 20, 30 years, you ain't been nowhere yet. Amen. Because what you doing now, they did it in ancient times. And we're here to tell you there's an all-point B warning going out from the quarters of heaven. The Son of the Living God is getting ready to unleash. Ooh, he's going to unleash the devil and his cohorts. He's going to let the devil take charge of this planet for 7 years. He has been over it for 6,000 years. But God said, now, I'm going to give you your opportunity because God is fair. The devil says, I don't want to be under God. I'm going to get my own kingdom. That happened ancients of time. That happened a long time ago when Lucifer slew foot amen, bareback devil, amen, had the nerve to tell God, I'm going to run you over. I'm going to run you over like a steamroller. And the Lord, I can imagine the Lord left laughing at it, amen, say, I'm going to rebuke you, I'm going to damn you, and everything you do, amen, is not going to be successful. And the devil said, oh, you watch me. And God created man, made him after his own image, after his own likeness. And God loved the human race. Oh, dude, he loved it so. Oh, my God, you don't know how much he loved it. He loved it so much that he gave his only son. That whosoever believeth in him shall what? Never perish. If you believe and trust in God and accept Jesus Christ, you will never perish. You will never see hell. You will never feel the pain of hell. Why? Because what Jesus Christ done. He loved the world so much, he gave his only son. God didn't have no more sons. Ain't no more sons. God can't even reach back into eternity and bring out another son. He said, I'm the only son. I'm the one God. I'm the one that brought salvation. Well, what did he have to do? God Almighty. Now, listen to what I got to tell you. God Almighty. Almighty. Almighty on top of Almighty. All self-existent one. Don't need nobody. Don't have to call on no help from nobody. He is self-independent. Woo! And he made man. And he made man so man could have an opportunity to choose the way he want to live. Guess what? And most of the world is choosing the way of Satan. Satan said, I got a way to live. And my way to live, man, It's nothing compared to the way God wants you to live, man. I got women. I got drinking. I got whorehouses. I got beer joints. I got folks all up in the church doing the same old stuff, and they call themselves being changed by God. Well, I got them too. I got some of the people that you think are Christians. Amen. I got them. You know how I got them? Because I got them to what? To reject the blood of Jesus Christ. I got them calling on the name of the Lord. But they reject the salvation once delivered it into the saints. They all up in the church, huh? They doing things the worldly folks don't even do. They call themselves ministers of God and preachers of God and evangelists, man, and they're whoremongering. They're lying. They're cheating. They're backbiting. They're giving motivation. They're jumping up, giving a large sum of money to the church and think that money's going to get them to heaven, but you're a lying wonder. You can't pay your way to heaven. Whoa, but can pay your way to heaven. Well, and you can pay your way to hell by making a pledge with the devil. The devil said, if you serve me, I'll give you prosperity. If you serve me, I'll put a name in the neon lights. If you serve me, I'll give the desires of your heart. If you serve me and reject the God of heaven, man, you can have a time up on the planet. You can do anything you want. But you know something?
That's right.
Jesus told a man one day. He had barns on top of barns, build more barns. He had all kind of stuff. And a lot of folks got all kind of stuff today. Preachers got all kind of stuff today. Lay members got all kind of stuff today. Mine, but let me tell you, they tell me that rich man went to bed that night. And when he lay down, I don't know, about 12 o'clock, maybe 12:30, a voice came to him and said, thou fool, you a fool. Your soul is required to that night. We got a lot of fools in the church. We got a lot of fools hanging around the church. We got a lot of folks in the celebrity world, in Hollywood, in Las Vegas, in the big cities where people are living lavishly. They ain't worried about their soul. They ain't worried about if they die or not. They ain't worried about what hell is going to be like. But let me tell you, if you go anywhere, I don't told you before, if you go anywhere, go to anywhere, but don't go to hell. Because if you go to hell, ain't no getting out. If you go to hell, if you go to hell, there's no song that you can sing to relieve you. There's no water in hell. There's no fire department in hell. There's no lakes in hell. There's no oceans in hell. There's no water nowhere. Because let me tell you, when you get hot in the summertime, hey man, the first thing you want to do is to get too hot. You want a cool glass of Kool-Aid, a lemonade, a glass of water. But in hell, there's no water. In hell, there's no boats that you can throw on for water. They tell me, the rich man said, hey, tell Lazarus to come down here and dip his finger, not in a pool of water, but dip his finger on the tip of his finger. Just a little bit of water. Just a little teeny bit. and touch my tongue. Well, this man is tormenting me. There's going a lot of people going to be crying out for help. Oh, okay. Give me some water. Give me some water. Give me some water. Can I get a relief? Can I get a coffee break? I need a donut. I need something to relieve this pain. Can somebody sing me a song? Can somebody rub my back? Can somebody put me to sleep? Nobody in hell will rest, neither day
Amen.
Or night. Everlasting brimstone burning. I'm a dramatizer. Burning. Just burning. You can have five things when you go to hell. You can have your eyesight to see. You can have your nose to smell. You can have your tongue to taste. You can have your ears to hear. And you can have your remembering to remember the time somebody tried to tell you, turn from your wicked ways. You can remember the times you could have went to prayer meet. You can remember times you could have went to the Bible study. You can remember times that somebody offered you to come to the altar and you didn't do it. You can remember everything and every opportunity that you had to accept Jesus Christ. But you was a fool to believe that you can go to heaven the way you want to go. But Jesus Christ said you ain't going no other way. Because if you try to go another way, you're a thief and a robber. And no thief and no robber will ever enter the kingdom of God. Why don't you listen to me? I'm trying to tell Amen. You to save your soul from sin. Because the cross is the only way that you can receive salvation. Because Apostle Peter said, there is no other name given among men where men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. I said, there's another name that you can name. I want to see his name and I want to know what he done. But I can name every false prophet. I can name every false religion, and they can't come up with a savior. Huh? The denomination can't come up with a savior. Ooh. Let me tell you, every denomination goes under the name, some denominations go under the name of Christianity, but Christianity is not under no name. The Christianity means Christ-like. Christianity means living like Jesus. Christianity means loving like Jesus. Christianity means forgiveness like Jesus. Christianity means mercy and goodness to tell somebody about this power that he has to turn you from your wicked ways. And if you don't turn from your sins, I'm telling you, if you don't turn from your sins and repent, I mean repent now. I ain't talking about half-hearted. I'm talking about whole-hearted. I'm talking about giving it up, brother. I'm talking about forsaking that wild living that you're doing, forsaking all that money that you're spending on clothes. Huh, come on now. Forsaking all that adultery that you've been doing and homosexuality that you've been doing and all that lesbianism you've been doing. You trying to tell God, God, I'm all right. I just got to do this. No, God said I won't accept it. No sin will God ever accept. He won't accept unbelief.
Amen, that's right.
He won't accept unbelief. Wait, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the big sin that's going to drive people to hell. I didn't say walk them to hell. I said drive them to hell. This sin of unbelief. People are rejecting Jesus. This is a Christ-rejecting world.
Amen.
People hate
That's
Christ
right.
now. We live in an age where church folks hate Christ. Paul said, you know what Paul said? I think it's in Philippians. He said, watch out. He said, watch out for those that weep. After the cross, those that cry after the cross. He said, because watch out, because some of them are enemies of the cross. Woo! Just because people cry, just because people shout, just because people do a certain thing that look like it's come from Christianity, he said, watch out. They're enemies of the cross. They don't believe in that resurrection. They don't believe in that transformation. They don't believe in that change in life. And Christianity means unchanged life. Like who?
That's right.
Jesus. Jesus, you got to have the attribute of Jesus. And one attribute, as many attributes of Jesus Christ, and one of the greatest attributes is love. Love. And you can't get nobody hardly in church today that know how to love each other inside the house.
Come
they
on,
sit
doctor.
Up there, not on the law, won't even speak to you, won't even congratulate you if you're growing in your Christian faith. If you fall
on,
down, they want to stomp you down. They want to talk about. If you see you trying to clown, they'll come down like a bunch of crabs and bring you back down. But let me tell you, that's not church. That's worse than the world, because you performing and calling yourself Christ-like, and Christ ain't never, Christ ain't never done nothing wrong. Everything he done was perfect. Everything he done was love. Everything he done was long-suffering. Everything he did, when he got angry, he got angry. He didn't get angry all the time. He was slow to anger, but he got angry one time when them folks was messing with the temple. They went in there selling turtle doves and gossiping and selling old blemished lamb. He told them to get out of here. Whip them out. Don't use my father's house as a house of din and thieves. This is a house of prayer. People ain't going to church now to pray. They ain't going to church to see who they can talk about, who they can gossip about, who they can complain about. Ah, I'm going to see what the preacher's talking about. Oh, I love his preaching. I don't know what he preached, but he sure preaching. Oh, come out more stupid than before they got in the house of God. When you go to church, you're supposed to learn something. You're supposed to be able to meditate upon the Lord. And most folks ain't meditating upon the Lord. They're meditating upon themselves, who they can see, who they can talk about, who they can criticize, and go home and sit out and look at a football game and say, oh, I've been to church. Well, you've been to church, and that's about all. You ain't going nowhere else, because if you haven't been born again, you'll be here when the rapture comes. You'll be sitting right here on your can't do nothing, because you ain't doing nothing. You ain't praying.
That's right.
You ain't helping the neighborhood. You ain't witnessing. You ain't telling nobody how much power God got to save you. If you was used to be a drunkard, God saved me from being an alcoholic. And it didn't take 3 years for me to stop drinking. Woo! God can stop you in your tracks and turn you around and put your feet on solid ground. And people go out here messing around, trying to tempt God and tease God and pimp God. You can't pimp God. You got to come on in all or nothing. God wants you all or he don't want it. If God wants me, I say, Lord, you can have all of me. All of it. From my toes to the tip of my head. From my soul, my spirit. Take it all. I don't want to be in myself. In fact, I don't even like myself. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, if I do something, Paul said, I hate the things I do. That's what I hate. But I want to do God's will. Brother Tim trying to do God's will. And then to do God's will, you got to be committed. You got to be dedicated. You got to be real with God. If you ain't real with God, you ain't going to do nothing but fuss and spew and complain. And church folks are complaining about the virus. They're complaining about, oh, I ain't got this and I ain't got that and I ain't got, ooh. They complain what they're going through. Let me tell you, if you ain't going through nothing in this life, you ain't doing nothing. You just sitting around like a knot on the log. But if you serving the Lord, ooh, the devil be on your track trying to turn you.
That's
back.
Right.
Don't
you
think? I'm fighting a battle. I'm fighting a battle to stay on the internet. I'm fighting a battle to get the gospel out. If I couldn't preach on the radio, ooh, if I couldn't preach on the internet, I don't know what I would do. Why? Because I can't preach it in the church like this. They don't want this. They can't handle this. Too strong for them. They've been playing around. Preachers don't want what the Bible got. It's not accepting me, accepting the word of God. But let me tell you, all that you see today is headed up for the great event that's soon to happen. 2022. Every day as I draw closer and see all what's going on in the Middle East and see all the armies just gathering around right now on the border of Ukraine and on the border of Russia. All that is getting ready for the great World War III. World War III. Three wars have been up on his face. Not only that, but many other wars. And by the way, the first war that was ever recorded in the Bible, the first war, is found in the 14th chapter of Genesis. You read it, 5 Kings, and 4 kings rebelled against each other because this one king was over them for 13 years and they rebelled and that was the first war on the planet. And the last war on the planet will be after the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, when these last millennium people that came through the millennium and never got saved under the theocracy government of Jesus Christ. And we should say, what's a theocracy government? A theocracy government is where God rules. And during the millennium reign, Christ will rule. And when he rules, men will be able opportunity to receive salvation. And although they have seen the nail prints in his hand, they've been in the temple, they've seen the scars on his back, they see everything. And Jesus will reign and rule with us for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, be born, people will get education, there won't be no more wars, there don't be no more killings, no more jail houses, no more whore houses, no more church services, as we call church service today, where folks are looking cross at you. Why? Because Christ will be ruling, and by his ruling, people still will not receive him as Lord and Savior at the end of the 1,000-year reign, and they're going to gather around the armies. The armies going to gather around Jerusalem for the last time. The last time. Because all other nations of the world, Gentile nations, have always wanted to eliminate Jerusalem, and they can't do it. And so now, the last battles of the battle. And God is going to call fire, oh my God, to rain down on the armies of Gog and Magog after the millennium is over, and it's going to be charred off and wiped off the face of the earth. And then we are going to enter into the great white throne period. The great white throne. The great white throne period says, oh, good God Almighty. Woo! Oh, the wicked that ever lived on the planet.
That's right.
On the planet, y'all, listen to me. They will be excommunicated in the middle of the universe, because this is a universal judgment. A universal judgment. There's going to be millions and millions, and on top of millions, wicked people, young teenagers, liars, drug addicts, mafia, Ku Klux Klan, all the wicked people that does wicked things up on the earth, and those that rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Tribulation Testament, and the Millennium Test. They're going to be stretched out like a curtain. And the box, not the library books, not the dictionary books, but the books of judgment will take place in the middle of the omnipotent universe. And God will sit on the throne, and he will open books on top of books.
That's
after
right.
Books. And he said, if I don't find your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is a dead end now. You're done. You're done. No, I'm talking about you're done more than the biscuit in the stove. You're done. Because when you stand at the great white throne, there ain't no repenting. There ain't no saying, I'm sorry. There ain't nobody saying, hey, man, let's go to prayer meeting. Ain't nobody going to say, hey, let's go to Bible study.
It's
too late.
That's right.
Ain't nobody going to be able to say, oh, God, please give me another chance. Oh, Lord, you got to give me another chance. God's going to say, look, I let you live 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, 90 years. I let you live 20 years. I let you live, and you never, never, never accepted me as Lord and Savior. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life or the Book of Life, the Bible says, come on, y'all. Come on, atheists. Come on, agnostic. Come
That's
on,
right.
unbeliever. Come on, hypocrite. Come on, sinner. Come on, look at what you got to do. Look what you got to do. Look what you got to do. You've got to say, I don't want to go to hell, but it's too late. Ain't nobody going to just march on down when they get that long line to march to go to hell. Ain't going to be no marching. They tell me the angels will actually lift up the human being and throw them in there. Because ain't nobody going to say, hey, man, where you going? I'm going to hell. Come on, let's go. Ain't nobody going to invite you there.
No, sir.
But now, people just laugh at it, heckle at it, jeer at it. Ain't no hell. God is too good to let me go to hell. No. No. You're too evil. You're too evil to receive Christ in your life. and you don't receive Christ in your life, you got to pay, brother. You got to pay, sister. You got to pay, drunkard. You got to pay, white man, black man, Jew man. You got to pay for your sins, because God himself became man, died on the cross for your sins that you could be saved, and you rejected it. Now, you got to pay for your own sins. And
that's
the Bible
right.
says, I'm going to get over to the brother. The Bible says, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Philosophers,
Amen.
Theologians, basketball players. Oh my God! Lord, look at this! Look at this! We got track runners. We got people who is caught up in sports. We got people who caught up in gambling. Oh man! We got people who got billions and billions and billions of dollars. Hey man, they're gonna be there, not because they're rich, but because they rejected Christ. And
that's
they're
right.
They're gonna be cast into the lake of fire. And I don't know. I don't know what they say, but I believe when they be cast into the air, they're going to say, oh, hell no. But it's too late. Too late. Don't be on that.
Right.
Don't be on that road. Come on to Jesus Christ. Come on to him. You need him. I don't know where you're at or what's your name or what's your address. I don't know the color of your skin. But God ain't worried about the color of your skin. He worried about your soul. Because if you lose your soul, you ain't going to gain nothing but misery.
That's right.
Paul said, if you just repent, turn from that dogmatic sin, turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he did. And I'm going to turn it to the brother, but when they slew Jesus and mesmerized him and they crucified him and took his body and whipped it till it was like hamburger meat on the backside. They took old rusty nails and drove it to the nervous system, through his wrists, and they drove it through his feet. And that's where all your nerves, every epitome of your nerves go through the wrists of your hand and through your feet. And they opened his back like hamburger meat. And they pierced his side. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And he didn't say a mumbling word. Father, forgive them of all their sins. And the world is saying, I don't want my sins to be forgiven. I want to keep on sinning. I want to keep on lying. I want to keep on disbelieving in God. I ain't worried about that. The only time they're going to worry is when they stand at the great white throne. And thank God, Brother Bizarre ain't going to be there. I'll be there.
That's right.
I'll be in the glory. And the world, the church is going to see the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
Lord have mercy.
God must have made his body. If the head is at the judgment, where is his body? The body is the church. So the church
is right.
there looking and serving. Everything that the Christian done while he was in his life is going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. And be revealed at the great white throne. Every born-again believer, all your works that I have done, that Brother Tim have done, and all the other true preachers is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and holding up the blood-stained banner, going to see all the works that they have done through Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they receive a crown. But the wicked won't see nothing but brimstone and fire and agony in the lake. God bless you. Go ahead, brother. Work with it.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. Wonderful word, brother. Amen. Great word. Amen. Amen. The war, amen, the mid-tribulation, the war, as such, amen, there's going to be a great war in the middle of the tribulation. Amen. Right now, we're at the beginning of this thing where we see the wars and the rumors of wars. Amen. Now, amen, we did say that the church won't be here. Amen. So that's a blessing that we will not be here when this World War III happens. As we can see, it's inevitable. World War III is going to happen. Amen. As much as I hate to say it, no, I'm not being negative. No, I'm not speaking to. It's just prophecy. It's going to happen. They have not built up all these weapons, spent billions of dollars. Amen. You think that they're not going to use some of this technology and some of this stuff that's going on? Amen. It's happening right before our eyes, amen. And we talk about, amen, the four horsemen over in Revelation, the sixth chapter, how the Antichrist after the church is gone is going to come on the scene. Amen. We talked about the war, amen, the mid-tribulation of war that's going to take place. They're vamping up for it. As the brother said, Russia needs some things. Amen. They're going to go after it. Obviously, they're going to attack who? Israel. Amen. They're also going to double-cross their friends, which is the king of the south. They're going to double-cross Arabs. Amen. And we know that the Antichrist is going to also go back on his treaty. Amen. So these things are going to take place. And that last 3.5 years of the tribulation is what was known as the Great Tribulation. Amen. Or the Day of the Lord. It's going to be, amen. It's going to be, man, I don't know what to tell you. God's going to really unleash his judgment in that last 3.5 years, because one of the things that the Antichrist is going to do, what is he going to do? He's going to, amen. He's going to consider himself king. Amen. Uh-huh. King of all of existence. Yeah. Amen. And what's going to happen is, amen, after he's healed of his wound, amen, we know that he's going to what? He's going to make a mandate. You think this vaccination is a mandate. He's going to make a mandate. Amen. That everyone, if you want, you think it's bad now. You think now they tell you you can't buy stuff, you can't sell stuff unless you have the vaccination, you can't go to work. This is what everybody's protesting in the world now. Man, you wait till the Antichrist come on the scene. He said, if you don't accept this mark. Now, remember, the church won't be here. You won't have to worry about the mark of the beast if you have salvation. I tell people all the time, study your Bible. Start listening to what other people are saying and study the Bible for yourself. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved. Meaning, study to show yourself approved. Amen. We will not be here. Amen. When they mandate, see, that's what, see, you know, the mask is one thing. The vaccination is another thing. That is not the mark of the beast. And you're not going to the lake of fire for wearing a mask. You're not going to the lake of fire for getting the vaccination. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So if you choose to get the vaccination, I'm not against anybody. If you choose not to get it, I'm not against anybody. I'm not judging nobody. But, amen, I tell you one thing, you better not and you should not get if you don't become saved before the trumpet sound, before Christ come back to get the church. If you don't receive salvation, you better not receive the mark of the beast. Amen. Now, the Bible always says, if you receive the mark of the beast, amen, you can forget it. Ain't no coming. Yes. Ain't no turning around. Ain't no turning back. Ain't no saying, no. If you accept that mark of the beast, that's it. Amen. Your soul will be in the lake of fire, not hell. See, people think hell and the lake of fire is the same place. They're two different places. You will be in the lake of fire. You're going to the lake of fire. We don't want that to happen. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to see nobody lost. Amen. We love everybody. We don't want to see nobody lost. You say, Pastor, how can I miss that? Is there a way that I can escape that what's going to come to this world? I don't care how many guns you got. I mean, I know people who go to church ramping up, buying guns, and I got to have this to protect my house. Let me tell you something. You can only buy so many bullets. You can only buy so many guns. You can only operate one or two guns at one time. So what if a mob of people come to your house? Then what you going to do? Amen? So I guess you're going to have a shooting gun. But, again, if hundreds and thousands of people come to your house, and what you going to be able to do? The tribulation is going to be the most horrified time in existence. Daniel spoke about it. Christ spoke about that there will be no other time like it in existence. It's going to be that 7 years. It's going to be horrible than any year, month, day, anything that you could think of in the past, the things that's going to happen in that seven-year period. You cannot prepare. You can buy all the toilet tissue, all the water, all the bullets, the guns.
Water.
You can buy all the bunkers and shelters and storage houses you want. You can hide all you want. You will not be able to hide from what's coming. Read the book of Revelation. Man, John wrote and said it. He said, who shall be able to stand? Amen. That's what John wrote. Nobody will be able to stand against the wrath of God. You won't be able to escape this. Your only way that you're going to escape for what's coming Amen. Ooh. Is if you receive salvation, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's what Paul said. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Now, we know that some people believe that you can lose your salvation. We do not teach that. Amen. If you're saying that you can lose your salvation, you're basically saying that the devil has more power than Christ. And we know that that's a lie from the pits of hell.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. That's why it's called eternal life. If God gives you eternal life, that was his intent, was to save you, not to lose you. Amen. You cannot lose your salvation. The Bible does not support that nowhere in Scripture. Amen. In fact, the Bible says it's not by works. Amen. People will say, well, you weren't really saved. Well, or you probably got saved, but you can stop believing. There's no such thing as stop believing. The Bible ain't never said that nowhere. Amen. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit is the keeper. So once you receive the Holy Spirit is what keeps you. Amen. I showed you all Scripture time and time again. Amen. I showed you over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3, what Paul spoke of. Paul said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Amen. So Paul said, I want you to know this thing, that no spirit speaking by the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, can speak against Christ. That's what Paul was saying. Once you have the Spirit of God, you can't turn around. Amen. You can't speak against God. There's no such thing. Amen. Because even Christ spoke about it. He said, is the kingdom divided? Amen. Does the kingdom of devils go against one another? Absolutely not. They're all on one accord. Then guess what? The kingdom of God is not divided. That's why God has the Holy Spirit. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you are saved for all eternity. And see, that's a doctrine from the pits of hell. That's the devil infiltrating the church to deceive men, to make people afraid, to make people scared. The Bible says God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. I go to bed at night sleeping good. Amen. I'm not concerned about my salvation. Why? Because my salvation is sealed. Amen. Until the day of return when Christ comes back together.
Yeah.
Amen, doctor. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
My salvation is sealed. I'm covered. The Bible says we are what? More than conquerors. We don't speak of loss. We have the victory. Amen. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but we are what? More than conquerors in Christ our Savior, Jesus. Amen. So we don't talk about that. So we don't teach like that. Amen. Because we know the power of the cross. Amen. The power of the cross saves you. Amen.
Come on,
it delivers you.
Come on.
Amen. See, watch. Let me show you something. See, when God sent Moses to get the children of Israel, oh, Lord, don't get me to preaching today. When God called Moses down to go and get the children of Israel, amen. Did he say that, we're going to put you back in Egypt? No, he didn't say that. Amen. When he delivered Noah out of the flood, did he say, Noah, when you do something wrong, Noah, we're going to put you out in the flood? He didn't say that. Why would you think that if God saved your soul, amen, that he will allow you to slip back into the hands of Satan? No, that's not the God I serve. You must serve some other God if you think my – amen, doctor. You must serve God if you think my God is weak like that. My God is powerful, for he has all power, not some power, not half the power, not part of the power, but he has all power in his hand. Amen. He's given all power and authority over any demons, in any devils or evil spirits or principalities, that they have no power over Christ. What did Christ say? Christ, what did he tell John over in Revelation, the first chapter? He said, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. doctor. And he said, I have the keys. Today he was saying, I have the victory. He said, we don't lose. Amen. We as saints, as they used to say back in the day, we don't die, we multiply. Amen. Because once we get saved, amen, we are living forever. Amen. We don't go back into death. That's nonsense. The Bible don't teach that. Amen. Once we become saved, we have salvation for all eternity because Christ has the keys to death and hell. He died on the cross for my sin. And you think he went through all that trouble to lose? Man, don't get me to preaching, brother. God, I go to the book of St. John, man. I've been preaching for more than 20-something years, but you've been preaching for more than that long. I've been alive, amen. And you know like I know, man, we got scriptures after scriptures. And any pastor or preacher that's ever stood against me in the past has never had any type of conversation against what I preach when it comes to one saved, always saved. I can show them a slew of scriptures and just whip them. Lord, they can't show
yes,
me one scripture
yes,
to support what
yes,
they
sir.
Teach, because I stand on what I say, because I stand on the word of God through his Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because I speak with love, amen. That's not with hate. That's not to boast or brag or put somebody down. That's to teach the truth, because we got to keep quit teaching that message that you can lose your salvation. Because see, that's what the
Come
devil
on,
wants.
Now.
He wants people to walk in fear and not know you be on eggshell, you not knowing if you say that or not. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because Christ said, I went to the cross. Amen. He said, once you are saved. Oh, my God. What did he say in St. John, the third chapter, verse 15? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. He said, shall not.
Yes.
That's a guarantee. Shall not perish,
yes.
but have what? Everlasting life. If I hand you something in your hand, and I say, this is yours forever, how can you lose it? How can you drop it? Come on, now, that ain't the God that I serve.
Come on,
if I give you a gift, it's yours for all eternity. I don't want it back because I gave it to you. Man, look at here, brother. Amen. We have to preach the word, amen, because a lot of times we hear these things out here in the street. Amen. We preach with love, amen. Paul said to teach with what? Truth and love. I'm telling you the truth, and I speak it with love, amen. And I come up, man, I'm telling you, we got scriptures after scriptures. I didn't sit down with pastors and preach, even pastors that got mega churches. I tell them, it don't matter to me, brother, amen. And they are lost for words because they can't. I have to get back to you with on that, but okay, I'm still waiting today for them to get back to me, because you want to know why? Amen. I speak the truth, amen. So we just want people to receive salvation, amen. We want you to know, how can you miss this judgment that's coming on this world,
judgment.
On this planet, amen, on the unjust? There are going to be so many people, amen, that have this opportunity. So many people are going to be saved, but we know according to the scripture, amen, as Christ said, more will go through, more people, more souls will be lost. That's what the scripture said. More souls will be lost than saved. Amen. We just want to get as many people saved into the kingdom. We don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. Man, this is a beautiful opportunity. This is a beautiful man, this is a beautiful day and age to live in. I talk to people all the time, and people are fearful of what's going to happen, and all we do is just sit there and smile. Amen.
Yeah,
hey, we
yeah.
just smile. We said, okay, I understand it. Amen. I'm human too. Amen. Cause I already know. Amen. If my job shuts down tomorrow, amen, I got bills too, but guess what? Amen. God said, don't I take care of the animals out there that you see?
Come on now. Come on.
Amen. Amen. Am I not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. See, God can protect you and keep you through the storm. Amen. We've been through the storm before. Amen. We have to walk, amen, in victory. We have to continue to pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Because what did Paul say? Amen. Nothing, amen, can separate us. Come on, doctor. See, if we just follow scripture and interpretation, God will tell us what he's saying. If we just follow
amen.
That, but man wanna be God. We want to tell people who's saved and who's not saved. We want to sit here and begin to judge and calculate the Bible and translate. David, the Bible will interpret itself. The Bible says
itself.
Paul was a right. He was a scholar. Paul said, who can separate us from the love of God?
Love of God.
Don't you know that all power is in his hand?
All
and Christ even said it himself. He said that no man is able to pluck them out of my. In other words, no man is able to take you out of Christ's hand. He went to the
That's
cross.
Right.
He's telling you
That's
no
right.
man.
That's right.
Amen. So when he says no man, he's talking about you yourself. Not just man on the outside of you, but you yourself. You are not able to pluck yourself out of Christ's hand. Man, don't get me started. That's over in St. John, amen. But we have to teach this type of message, amen, because we want people to understand. Go back and read your Bible. Amen. If you can't sit here and contest me, if you ain't studied the Bible and studied the scriptures in depth, to sit here and say, okay, amen, if something is for eternity, so you going to go against what the scripture said. The scripture said it's for eternity. The Bible didn't say but. In that scripture, the word but is nowhere in that scripture. Amen. The Bible says, amen, that God has given you eternal salvation. Receive eternal salvation. Come on, doctor. I receive it right now. I don't receive eternal salvation, and then once I die, no, I receive it right now. Paul says right now in the present. He said there is therefore now in the present no more condemnation to those of them who are in Christ. He said right now.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Right now, immediately, faster than you can blink, faster than you can think, Paul said you are saved by the Holy Spirit and you are sealed with the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as you can lose your salvation. God said give it to you. All you have to do is just accept it. Just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. That's the plan of salvation. We've been teaching that for over 20 years. Kids are saved. Amen. I got people still come back. Amen. Again, not most, but just saying, they still come back and say, man, I can't go to that church over there. What they teaching? And then people wonder why your members running in and out of the church, because you ain't teaching no solid teachings. So when you teach that stuff that folks can lose their salvation, you're going to have folks running in and out of church. We didn't have all that. Once you're saved, amen. Once you're saved, you got some folks, you can't help what folks want to do. Amen. If they love the world, amen, then they wouldn't say the Bible said they was not of us to begin with. That's over in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 18 and 19. The writer said that they was not of us to begin with. The Bible said it was made manifest. In other words, it was made known that they was not of but they was not of us. And we're about to come back, amen, and talk about it. I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother. We're going to come back and go over some scripture. A lot of time when you go to preaching and teaching, that's why every time I use scripture, because when I teach, I don't want nobody to say, oh, that pastor said this. No, the pastor said what the Bible said. That's what I say. I say what I read you the scripture, exactly what it said. Now, you go and study in depth and see if you come up with something different, because I sure want to hear it. I ain't met a pastor yet that can come up and interpret that Bible different from what the scriptures say. If it says eternal life, that's what God meant. He didn't mean nothing. He didn't say no partial life. He didn't say God didn't add no stipulations to salvation. Come on, doctor. He didn't add all this stuff to salvation. Folks want to go to the Bible didn't say none of that. You put that in there. Show me where the Bible said that. God ain't said that nowhere. That's you didn't add that in there. And we need to stop trying to interpret the Bible based off what the Bible said. Lean not to thine own understanding.
Yeah.
But you have to read the scripture for what it says. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Brother, go ahead, brother. Amen. I'm going to turn back. We're going to come back, amen, talk about it some more. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. That's some hot stuff. This is the word of God. I don't have nothing to be sorry about. Amen. When we talk about this eternal life, as long as Jesus Christ is alive, and when I accept him into my portion of Savior, he has kept me. I haven't broke stride. I haven't said I ain't never been saved. I know I'm saved. I can tell the world I'm saved. I've made mistakes. I'm not no sinless person. The only thing that's parts in me that's sinless is my soul. And my spirit is sinless. Oh, don't you understand that? Sinless. How could it be sinless? Jesus Christ, sanctify your soul and take sin out of your soul, takes it out. And Jesus Christ comes in. When he comes in, there's a process of growing in Christ. There's a process of maturing in Christ. There's a process of having suffering. There's a process of having disappointments in your life. And the thing it is, because you have a problem in your life, some people say, well, I ain't saved now because I did so-and-so. Well, if you were saved in the beginning, how could you break that? Because one thing about the devil, he has no power. He had no power to take your salvation. No power. He is powerless. And he is mad because he cannot come in and go to the cross and desecrate the blood of Jesus Christ and deny the blood of Jesus Christ, deny the suffering of Jesus Christ, deny the resurrection. He cannot deny it. He knows more about the cross than the average Christian person. And what the devil knows, he's doomed. He's done. And when a saint, when a sinner comes to Jesus Christ and contrite spirit and a broken spirit and in repentance, and Christ comes into his soul, comes into his spirit, and he makes his abode in his soul. Not in his, he's in the body, but he's in his soul, he's in the spirit. The blood of Jesus Christ takes that sin out. And then when he takes that sin out, Paul said, this is what Paul said. Now, I believe Jesus, Apostle Paul, I believe the prophets, and I believe the disciples. Apostle Paul said, when I wanted to do good, I thought you were saved. Yes, I'm saved, but I got another member. What? I got the members that's in my, body that still has that sin trait. Uh-oh, sin is still in my body. Now, I got to have some power to bring my flesh under subjection. I cannot bring my flesh under subjection. Let's not pray, fast, read God's word, go through trials and tribulations. Woo! Been denied, rejected, and pray to the Lord in the spirit, because the spirit the power is in the spirit. You don't believe that? The Bible says, not by power, not by might, but by what? My spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Why? Because God is a spirit. And if God is a spirit, those that worship him, honor him,
come on now,
dedicate their life to him, talk about him, love him. Woo! Let the world know, hey, man, I'm living for the Lord. Oh, man, I know. I know, but I see you something yesterday. I see you say something. Oh, well, hey, God don't forgive me that, because when he saved me for my past sin, my present sin, and my future sin. He saved me forever. Ever means ever. You can't go by. If you say ever one time, that means forever. And Paul was given to us, those that know Jesus Christ, that you are fighting a battle, and the battle is within yourself, the spirit against the flesh. And there's nothing good in the flesh. But thank God for the flesh, because if it wasn't for the flesh, I wouldn't have nobody to live in. Woo! I wouldn't have nobody to eat. I wouldn't have to worry about sleeping. I ain't got no glorified body now. That's why when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no more sleeping. Woo! Hallelujah! There ain't going to be no more getting tired. There ain't going to be no more bad eyesight. There ain't going to be no more gray hair. There ain't going to be no more crippling weak legs. Why? Because I'm in a natural body. I'm in a body made out of the earth. And anything made out of the earth, I ain't saying it's good, but it ain't good enough for heaven. I got to have stinking new, brand new body, limousine body. I got to have, my God. I got to have a body that can fly through the air, because I got to meet the Lord in there. And if you don't have this body changed at the rapture, that means that you don't know Jesus Christ. That means that you never was saved. That means that you are lost until you go through the tribulation and see if you can get connection with the Lord God Almighty, which you've been carrying around for years, talking about your mom, and here you sitting on the horse's stool. A lot of folks be sitting up in church on the horse's stool when the trumpet blows. A lot of people going to wonder, what is that sound?
That's right. Amen. Amen.
There's millions of people fishing from the air. The only one that can understand the sound of the trumpet is a baptized, born-again believer. I didn't say no church member neither. I didn't say no janitor of the church. I go secretary of the church, and I ain't got nothing against you working in the church. But working in the church ain't going to get you to heaven. You've got to come by
That's
the
right.
blood of Jesus Christ. And when you come by the blood of Jesus Christ, the devil can't erase the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo!
That's right.
How much power is in the blood? I'm going to show you how much power. Jesus Christ went to hell. You hear what I said? And he's the only one that went to hell and came back. Oh, come on now. Ain't no other prophet, ain't no other angel, ain't no other cherubim, no seraphim, no teraphim ever went to hell and delivered the keys of death and hell and came up on top side of the earth and said, I got all power in heaven and earth. Nobody said it but Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ,
come
now
on.
I got all power in the right hand. And when I saved you to the uttermost. And uttermost means forever. And without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. So if you have not experienced the power of the blood and the spirit of Jesus Christ in your life, you are lost. L-O-S-T. You're not lost because you sin. You're lost because you don't know the one that died on Calvary's cross and gave his life for you that you could have eternal life. My friends, we're living in an awful time. We're living in an awful time. And you know something? You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against the principality of the air. Let me show you what you're fighting against. In the book of Isaiah, I'm going to show you what you're fighting against. It says, 14 and 12, it says, how art thou fallen, O Lucifer, O slewfoot, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation. Every nation on the planet right now is weakened by Lucifer. Lucifer has made every nation weak. We are so weak. We can't get along with each other. We can't love each other. We can't praise God for our salvation. We can't sing right because Satan has made every nation weak. Weak in racial discrimination. Look how messed up we are. We messed up. Oh, the nations of the world is messed up.
Come on, doctor.
Oh, mess up, brother. The white man is messed up. The black man messed up. Why?
Come on,
because
doctor.
Of strength has weakened us. We don't know nothing about love. We don't know nothing about God. We don't know nothing about remission of sin and the death of Jesus Christ. That's why the world is fighting and killing and murdering and raping. Why? We don't know
Come
who
on,
God
doctor.
Is. Because God is not killing and raping and drug addicts and prostitution. God is not of that. God hates that. God is going to destroy that. God is going to eliminate that. And who brought that? Lucifer, slewfoot, barefaced, double-tongued, liar. Listen to what he said. This is what the devil is going to do to God. Listen to what he's going to do to God. He said, for thou hast said in thine heart. So he had a great intention. He said, I will ascend into the house. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the throne of the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the size of the north. What direction is heaven? Heaven is north. Woo.
Amen.
He's sitting on the north side. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Look at this turkey. Look how this turkey's talking to God. I will be like the Most High. And the Bible says in the 15th verse, let's read it. Yet thou be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. Don't you know if you are a candidate for hell when you were born, and shaken iniquity? The devil said, hey, I got the whole human race because everything, everything that's ever was born is mine. I'm in control. But there's one man that was born. They call it God man. God man. What you talking
Amen.
About, preacher? I'm talking about God in Christ. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the only man that ever was born without sin, without degradation,
Amen.
Without fault, without anything. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was righteous. He was sanctified. He is holy. Nothing can stand before him that's unholy. And by that, He was born of a Virgin Mary. And the reason he was born of a Virgin Mary, because that was only the line that he could come to be born without sin. Uh-oh, we got to back up a little bit. We got to back up when Satan said, I want to be like God. I'm going to tear God apart. I'm going to eliminate him. And he tried it in heaven. He tried to literally dethrone God, get rid of all the other angels that didn't go with him, and sat on the throne. You hear what I'm saying? Sat on the throne. Oh, who's throne? God's throne. Don't you know that stuff? He didn't have as much sense as a baboon. to realize the one that made him was the one that said, Lucifer, appear. And Lucifer came forth. He didn't realize that God took nothing. He took nothing, spoke to nothing. And by speaking to nothing, nothing had to answer. And when nothing answered, nothing said, I'm nothing. How could I answer? He said, I'm God. I can speak to nothing. And when he spoke to nothing, Lucifer appeared, and God gave him a position. He gave him the most mighty musician talent that any other angel had. You talking about music? That boy, that Lucifer can make some music. And he done took all the holiness that God gave him and threw it away and brought it to earth. Now we listen to every low-down, dirty song that we can think of. And people are being subliminal by the message and the guitars and the drums, because let me tell you, he was a choir director in heaven. Oh, y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Listen, he was a choir director in heaven.
Amen.
And he could get the rhythm up. He could do all kind of music instruments and make them talk. Make the talk, make the guitar talk, make the drum talk, make everything talk. And God said, now you got the position to direct the choir. And Lucifer said, I don't want the choir. I want the throne. I want to be like God. I want to sing above God. And God said, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And he kicked him out. When he kicked him out, he took, listen, this is good teaching. When he kicked him out, he took one third of the angelic beings with him.
Come on, dog.
And when he kicked him out, they became demons and devils. They became disembodied spirits that roam the earth now. They've been roaming the earth ever since the Garden of Eden. They roamed and tore up the Garden of Eden. They told Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. They told them a big lie. And the lie was, you ain't going to die. Oh, God knows that then you die. Oh, you become like God. He said, like God, not God. And man today thinks he is God. And by him thinking he is God, the devil said, all right, in the last days, at the end of time, at the end of the 6,000 years, I'm going to become God. I'm going to take over the earth. I'm going to take over everything that I couldn't have in heaven, and I'm going to come to earth and ruin it and cause evil to rule the world. But evil will never rule the world. What are you dealing with now? What are the saints of God dealing with? We're dealing with Nephilim. We're dealing with wicked spirits. We're dealing with demons. We're dealing with fallen angels. And we're dealing with the devil. And the devil has a crew that's working day and night. As I told you the other night, I told you all this killing, all this raping, all this church formality, all this crying and speaking in tongues, and people say you got the Holy Ghost and you ain't got it today. You got it tomorrow. All this is diabolical, because the devil don't want you to know anything about the cross. The cross is the only way man can receive salvation, because there's no other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved. In the time of the flood, angels came down and had cohabitated with the human race, and angelic beings became demons, and they were half angels and half human. And by this, you got demons roaming the earth. You got demons in witchcraft. You got demons in voodoo. You got demons in murders. You got demons in crime. You got demons at the beer joint. You got demons at the whorehouse. You got demons everywhere roaming
and tearing down everything they can get. You got demons in the family. You got devils running the family. You got demons killing and murdering. You got demons killing babies, abortion. You got demons doing everything with it because God said, I'm going to give man an opportunity to choose you this day in whom you will serve. And Joshua said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And the world says, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the devil. That's why you've got so much diabolical demons running around here. And you know, you
try
to congregation, you can feel, these spirits in churches. You can feel
these demons. Come on, doctor.
Oh, yeah, they in there. They in there with their pride. They in there with their self-righteousness. They in there with their secret sins. They in there with all their adulteries. Their preachers getting in the pulpit and preaching a Minnie Mouse sermon and having the people jumping and shouting. That don't mean that he'll be. Let me tell you, if he ain't preaching repentance, and if he ain't preaching the cross, and if he ain't preaching the suffering and the bloodshed on Calvary's cross, if he's not preaching the resurrection, and if he's not preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ, he ain't preaching. He ain't preaching holiness. He ain't preaching. If he ain't preaching love and mercy and goodness and forgiveness of sin. He ain't praying. If he ain't praying and studying the word of God, he's not a student of the word of God. Because in order to preach this word, you got to live. You got to live
That's
it.
Right.
If you ain't living it, you just was to shut down the whole church door. And
That's
go
right.
outside the church door and confess to the people, I am a false prophet. I
Come
am a liar. Y'all forgive me. And I ask the Lord to call me to preach. And if he don't call you, you got to live right anyhow.
Right.
Too many self-called preachers are demonic possessed. Oh, what you know? Yeah. Unsaved man is possessed with a spirit of preaching. Paul says the devil is an angel of light, transforming. Transforming what? Transforming men into an angel of light, preaching a false gospel, Preaching a gospel that says we're going to renovate you, we're going to motivate you. Motivation preaching is diabolical.
Come on,
it's diabolical, man. You getting up preaching about send me some money? I got a jet plane. I got three wives and I got a wife and I got a girlfriend on the side and I got a couple boys I'm punking in the back of the church. Oh yeah, you're
Come
a demon. You're a demon. If you ain't
Come
preaching
on,
Christ, Paul said, "Let that man be a curse." I'm just Lord have mercy, man. We're living in the last days.
That's
and
it.
If you ain't getting the word of God at your house, if you ain't getting the word of God at your church, tune in. Tune in to Watchmen on the Wall. Tune in on Wednesday night. Tune in on Saturday evening. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you will learn something from the word of God. Because actually, the church is wrestling against not flesh and blood, but the prince, power of the air, the devil. The devil
That's right.
is busy, and he's out to do what? He's out to damn your soul. He's out
That's
to
right.
keep you away from the cross. If he keep you away from the cross, I'm going to tell you something. He got you. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how sweet and tender you are. I don't care
That's
how much
right.
money you got. I don't care your status quo, your education. I don't care nothing about that. Your soul is in jeopardy. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you just want to strike a match and get you some firewood and try to get used to hell. Because if you miss heaven, the only place you can go is hell. Don't go. Paul said, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that
That's
God
right.
is Jesus Christ. In the dead. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I'm going to give it over to the brother. He can have the rest of the service. He'll probably open the doors. If anybody out there don't know Jesus Christ, and anybody out there don't know up to the date of Bible prophecy, amen, read your Bible. Read Ezekiel. Read Isaiah. Read Isaiah 53rd chapter. Tells you the suffering of Jesus. Read Ezekiel. Read Daniel. Read Revelation. Read it.
and ask God, Lord, endow me with wisdom, know how to rightly divide your word of truth so I won't have to be ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed before God, and I'm not going to be ashamed before man. If any man want to talk to me about the Bible, amen, I'm going to tell him through the Holy Spirit. I can't accumulate this on my own. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to me exactly what's getting ready to happen. And here we are here trying to warn you. Please, please. I think James Brown used to sing, please, 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 please. Now, I'm telling, I ain't no James Brown. I don't want to be no James Brown. But I'm telling you right now, if I was saying, I would say, please, 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 please return.
Amen.
And turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be what? Saved. God bless you. Brother, roll with it.
Amen, brother. Beautiful. Amen. Beautiful word. Amen. So much going on in the world today. Amen. You said it. Amen. So many people are preaching without the Bible. Amen. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. Amen. I've never understood it. Amen. How so many people can gather to listen to a man or a woman to talk. Amen. And I mean, it's okay. Amen. I remember one time this preacher said something about, he don't study, amen, the Holy Spirit give it to him. That's okay. Amen. I'm not saying that it can't be, but you got to read the word.
You got to read the word, brother.
You got to read the word. That's the power. Amen. Because that's what Christ is. If you read St. John, the first chapter, first verse, it says, in the beginning was the what? Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
And the word was with God, and the word was God.
Welcome.
That's what he is. When we understand, this is what I'm saying when I talk about interpretation. And this is why when you come into these confrontation with these people that are preaching and teaching, and they're just, amen, like my brother said, they just out here just misinterpreting the scripture because they don't understand the word, meaning the word itself. You got to interpret the word to understand its understanding to present the Bible, rightly divide the word. Amen. That's
Come
what
on.
It's about. So if you were just talking, but you're saying good stuff. Okay, I understand you said some good stuff, but give me some scripture. Give me some word. Talk about Christ. Amen. Talk about the gospels of Christ. Talk about the miracles, the things that he did. And if you're just relating the Bible, well, people out in the world relate the Bible. They quote a lot of different things. I'm saying, man, this motivational speaker got that from the Bible. That's already in the Bible. He's not saying that. Amen, brother. He ain't saying nothing that's new. He just basically took something out of the Bible and just reworded it is all he has done. And people will go to these churches, and I'm not knocking nobody, amen. You know, you do your thing. But, amen, I'll tell you, so many souls are being lost. So many souls are being misled because you're so caught up to how eloquent somebody sounds.
Yes.
Or you're so caught up to how good somebody looks or what they have because of their name. But what about the word that they are teaching? Are they breaking down the scripture? Are they teaching you about salvation? Amen. Are they teaching about, yes, once saved, always saved? I will always say, I will stand on it. Amen. Amen. Are they talking about love? That's the problem with the church. Amen.
Come
I'm talking
on.
About real
Come
love
on.
That Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, when Paul talked about love. Are they talking about the return of Christ? Are they preaching from Revelation? I tell people all the time, your pastor don't know anything about Revelation. What are you doing? Amen. What is he doing that he ain't been studying? Amen, doctor. That he don't, why are you scared of Revelation? Revelation is not for us to fear. It's for those who don't believe in Christ. It's for them. They better fear because they don't even know what's coming. Amen. That's why Paul said, behold. Amen, doctor.
Amen,
amen. What did Paul say? Paul said, behold, I show you a what? Mystery. Amen. That word in the Greek mystery says it's not a mystery to us that study the Bible. It's not a mystery to us that believe in Christ. It's a mystery to those who are lost. They don't know what's about to happen. They don't see the signs and the seasons. Amen. And the times that Paul talks about. They don't see the times and the seasons. Amen.
Yes.
But we see them because why? The Holy Spirit reveals it to us. The Holy Spirit talks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and say, wait a minute. Just like we do when we out in the world, we see something that's wrong. We know something that's wrong. We say, no, I'm not going to go down that direction. Amen. But you ever been down the street and say, no. Some tell me not to go down this street. Amen. And some tell me not to go this way. Some tell me not to do this. Some tell me not to go with that woman. Some tell me not to say that or to do that. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us and through us. Amen. To lead us and guide our steps through life. Amen. So the secret is not, amen, to those who believe. The secret is hidden from who? Those that are lost. Amen. And like you said, brother,
amen.
There's so many people standing up in church, copying stuff all off. I had a brother tell me his pastor get his sermons from off the internet. I said, well, basically, brother, amen. I'm telling myself, you ought to be ashamed for going to his church if you know he's in there pulling stuff. Because your soul, you got to speak to your own. Come on, doctor. Amen. I wouldn't even tell nobody that you still attending the church. You know the church, the pastor's carrying on doing all this foolishness, and you still in the church under him? Come on, this
Come
is
on.
Wrong. We so complacent. We get so comfortable. Oh, I like the pastor and the wife. Oh, you so comfortable, but you just don't know. But, man, this person can lead you to hell, and you
hell.
People, guys, let's just be real. Folks have gotten so lazy in the church, they don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to study the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. They just attending church and just trusting a man or woman sit up in front of them preaching and teaching. Man, Lord have mercy, doctor. I wouldn't leave my soul in no man's hand. The Bible says trust no man. That includes yourself. I'm just going to be real. I don't even trust myself. I trust God. I don't trust myself. Amen. I trust in the Spirit. I trust in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where I got my faith in. Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I'm man, and I'm subject to fail. Amen. So if you want to be blessed, amen. We don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. These last few minutes, I'm going to close out. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. We will be back on the air Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time and 9 p.m. East Coast Time. We'll be back Wednesday night. We're going to teach on this.
Yes, sir.
We're going to keep going. We love you all. Family, you are royalty. I am royalty. Amen. Elder Bazaar is royalty. We are just waiting for the trumpets to blow so that we can go home. Amen. And be with our Lord and Savior for all eternity.
Eternity.
For eternity. The greatest gift in existence. Amen. The greatest gift in all existence is eternal life. That is the greatest gift. That's why men strive to look young. They finally look for all kind of stuff to keep themselves young, going to the gym. You already going to get eternal life. We don't have to strive for that. Go